listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 107 of Geek Watch 1. Yes, that is 107. We realized that you guys couldn't find 106. That's okay, because we couldn't find it either. So we now
Actually, we know where it is. It's just in pieces.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Gremlins
it's
got
in. It's encoded messages is what it is.
It is.
That's right. And Dawn had an idea. You may get Easter eggs. You guys started listening to the end of the episodes. You may get Easter eggs of what 106 was.
And for those who weren't in attendance for the recording, we'll maybe create a contest if you can figure out what's being talked about in the episode.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because this was the first Meeplecast that we had on a Saturday afternoon, and it was a great time.
It was a good time. It really was. But, you know, I don't know. I can't remember if anything particularly crazy was said.
No.
Well, Ken can provide you with the clips if you want to listen.
Neil and Sherry and his daughter, they were able to come, and they usually aren't able to on the week.
We had some new people that don't usually aren't able to make it, which is what we were hoping to get with Saturday afternoon shows.
Right.
So, but did you, Kylan, were you able to stick around and actually play some games afterwards at all?
No, I was not.
That was part of the plan for Saturdays, and now it's just not going to happen anyway.
It will. We just got to get there.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't able to that time anyway, but, you know, hopefully. At some point.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We're looking at maybe August for us being able to stick around because Vicky's got. I had the Rubber City Pop Culture Fest that I had to wrestle at right after the show.
You wrestled right. 3 times.
And I ended up wrestling 3 times in a 1 hour show.
What?
I had. He started the show with the national anthem.
They start normal time, 15 minutes late.
Yeah, wrestling. If anybody doesn't know, independent wrestling shows always start about 15 minutes late.
And the show is completely over at 6.
Mm-hmm. So we had 45 minutes and like 8 matches we're supposed to be doing. So it ran over a little bit.
They were still going at 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30 when we left, the main event was just going on.
All the vendors had already closed shop.
But, no, the Rubber City Pop Culture Fest was fun, though. It was small. It was like a Comic-Con, one of the small-scale Comic-Cons you see with just mainly a vendor hall with maybe a couple of guests there. Mm-hmm. All of us have seen those. Your Tadmore or your Shriner Halls and stuff like that have done these for years.
Yeah, we've heard bad things about it because of the price they charged at the door, so we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And first thing I walked in, I heard our favorite person from The Ramble.
Yeah. Yes, they were running the Comic-Con or the cosplay competition.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah.
So, but for other than the price getting in for first year, it wasn't bad. Like I said, it was like one of those small-scale Comic-Cons with more of your pop culture stuff in there.
But it was so hot. I couldn't even breathe.
But it was in a gymnasium that was built back in probably the 20s or 30s. So there was no AC.
No fans, nothing.
It was part of the Goodyear World. I didn't realize the Goodyear World headquarters complex had a gymnasium built into it.
Yeah.
So that's where it was at.
But it was really, really hot.
And it was fun wrestling in there when it was that hot.
I bet.
I found a wall and a floor to try to cool off.
Yeah, I had, but no, I wrestled 3 times because they had these guys that had Soviet Russian mask gimmicks come out to interrupt the national anthem. And then me playing a character of a giant G.I. Joe, I came out to basically to beat them down out of the ring.
So you did the old school WWF stuff like Hogan used to do with the Russians.
Yeah exactly. that's what my character is. And that's why the promoter who does this for Underground Wrestling He loves the old school 80s gimmick wrestling.
Hey, and the two guys combined equaled you.
Yeah, they were not super huge, so. But yeah, and it's like that. That's what makes it fun when you, because everybody at this point knows wrestling is rigged. You know what the finish is going to be. So why not make it an actual show? Bring back the 80s flair and the big characters and stuff like that.
Well, that's just it. People don't really watch or go to see wrestling matches for the technical skills.
No.
Well, unless you actually know wrestling.
Well, yeah, but you don't really go for that. You go for the show. You go for the soap opera. That, I mean, it's a soap opera for guys is what wrestling is.
Exactly. That's what that's what WWE needs to figure out, because it seems like a lot of times they're trying to go more with try to somewhat be realistic and things like that. It's like, go over the top and crazy.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
I think they kind of, for some reason, they feel like that they're in competition with the UFC.
Yeah.
The UFC is, it's not sports entertainment.
No.
You know? Yeah.
The UFC, they're actually trying to beat each other up.
Right.
Exactly. UFC is
wrestling, they're just trying to look like they're really beating each other up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the other side of it is that there's been some crossover, because there are people who left the UFC to kind of downgrade their athletic requirements a bit, and then, kind of still continue going to WWE, and we had people in the WWE who wanted to kick it up a notch and then go into the UFC.
Like CM Punk.
Yeah, like CM Punk.
Well, yeah, that didn't work well.
And Brock Lesnar.
Well, you look at Brock Lesnar. Well, the thing with Brock Lesnar, when he went to UFC, he was already a world champion amateur wrestler. So he had to learn striking and stuff like that, but he was a super powerhouse to start with.
Right.
Okay. Right, or, gosh, what's the guy's name?
Well, see, that's just it. You had, like, the actual athletic wrestlers going into things like the WWE because there was nothing else at the time and nothing that could get them money.
Right.
Yeah.
But now UFC is such a big thing that they can actually transfer over.
Oh, you have, like Ken Shamrock was the guy that kicked this off, because Ken Shamrock was the star of the UFC. And I remember when he came over to the WWF at the time. And I remember when he came over, and I'm like, isn't he? You know, but the thing was, he was injured, and so he could still kind of do what he was doing, but he was doing it on an entertainment level.
Right.
Yeah.
But then he tried to go back into the UFC or into MMA, period, and he was too broken at that point.
Yeah. Well, then it advanced way past where he was at, because you got to remember the first couple UFCs, you basically knew your style and that was it. That's why guys like Hoist Gracie were able to dominate, because no one knew Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Right.
Ken Shamrock and guys like Dan Severn was a pro wrestler and a UFC guy. What was it? Dan Fry or what was... there was three major ones there. It was Fry, Severn, and Shamrock, that all three did both. But they were wrestlers, so when they went into the UFC, they were shoot wrestlers.
And then
pro wrestling, they just had to modify just a little bit, and they'd do the exact same thing.
Right.
So
takedowns is what got a lot of them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what was it? What was his name? There was the really big black guy, and then there was the other guy that was just would haul off and punch you and knock you out.
I don't remember.
At the beginning?
No. This is before Lashley.
Way before, like towards the beginning.
Yeah, there was a couple of big ones. Like, well, Tank Abbott was a huge but he was a straight brawler. And if he missed on his punch, you take him down, no problem. You remember Tank Abbott at all? Crazy looking dude with a giant red beard.
Vaguely. Was that mid '90s at that point?
Mid late '90s, yeah. And he was one of those guys that was basically got into the UFC through the Tough Man competitions.
Yes.
And
okay.
He had a strong punch, but if you got him to the ground, that's it. There's nothing. He had nothing else.
Yeah, that was that was back when it was kung fu guy versus shoot fighter or kickboxer versus wrestler.
Now they all try to do a bit of everything to make it mixed on themselves.
Right.
Instead of being mixed martial arts,
they came up with their own rules, because a lot of I think even the U.S. government was trying to come after them for being a blood sport.
Yeah, it wasn't the government. It was the different athletic commissions for the different states.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, but I actually have the first, what, five UFCs on DVD, because back then it was fun, because you never, and I still watch them every once in a while, because it was hilarious sometimes. You get a sumo guy versus a Savak guy, and the Savak guy would plant the sumo guy's teeth in the front row, because he's not ready for
that. I remember watching the first one, and me and my friends, that were all like we were training like 5-6 days a week, and we'd been hearing talk about the UFC, and so I think somebody had recorded UFC 1. And so we're sitting there watching it, and we watch this guy get kicked in the face. His face goes one way. We saw a tooth. I'm like, is that a tooth? And we rewound and watched, and that blew our minds, because there was nothing like it at that point.
Yeah, that was, and it, like I said, it didn't take long for them to actually modify it so that it became MMA is now its own fighting style.
Right.
So how do we end up talking for wrestling for the first 10 minutes?
I don't know.
And you guys say you're not wrestling fans.
No, that was your fault. You're the one who brought it up.
No, it was a good time, though, at the festival. Hopefully, they'll learn from this and get and figure out how to make it even better. Because every show starts in a weird place.
Right.
Because you never know what you're going to get, what you're going to do. So maybe they can keep the prices the way it is, but expand it a little bit, make it bigger. Maybe a better venue. Mm-hmm. They had local comic artists and stuff. So
yeah, but the thing is, you look at something like the Hall of Fame Con, that was only $10, and they had massive names.
Yeah,
I
made a difference.
I don't know what deal that they made, but
but they're run by like the city and all sorts of organizations. They can get an in with people.
Yeah, they got a lot more sponsorships.
Much more than an individual can do.
I mean, I was shocked. I mean, freaking Steranko.
Well, Perez.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, wow.
Hopefully these guys will figure out what they're doing and make it better as it goes. Because more conventions and stuff, it just means more fun for us.
That's true.
So, but that's not what we're actually here to talk about today. We're going to cover two movies today.
But this is a good layway into Wonder Woman fighting.
Yeah, this will lead into some of the stuff with Wonder Woman, because some of the fighting in Wonder Woman was amazing, I thought. So, but today we're going to be talking some Pirates of the Caribbean, because we really didn't touch on that at all. And I think we're going to talk a lot about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yep.
So, but do you guys have anything else geeky this week that you guys did or anything?
I don't think we actually did anything geeky.
No. I mean, I've been actually kind of playing some games, but, you know, that's just me trying to get caught up on stuff I bought and actually spent money on.
Yeah.
we caught up on, we watched all of the most recent season of 12 Monkeys.
Yeah. Okay.
The one that came out two weeks ago.
How many seasons that are out now?
Well, it was it season 3?
Season 3.
It was the one that we talked about a while ago, where they were showing the entire season in one weekend.
Ah, okay.
So we DVR'd it because there was no way we could watch it. I think it was Riverside Ramble weekend, which is why we didn't watch it.
Right. Yes.
But it was Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. They showed like 3 or 4 episodes each night, and so over the past week, we finally caught up and watched the entirety of it. And if you're a fan, then you definitely need to see it. And if you've never watched 12 Monkeys and you like the time travel thing, if you like the dystopian or post-apocalypse kind of storylines, then you have to watch 12 Monkeys. Catch up on it. It's all there now.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah, they threw a lot into... I will say that this season, there was definitely no filler.
No.
Like, every episode...
Well, I mean, they only do, like, 10 or 12 episodes. So they do the British style, where you don't need filler. You just get to the point and you get through it.
Well, maybe that's something we need to... We've been talking about catching that one anyway, so... Now that we have actually means to do some of that stuff now, so maybe we'll look into that.
Yeah, it's good, because, I mean, I love all the time travel kind of stuff, and so many time travel shows or movies have, like, set rules and that kind of thing, and 12 Monkeys... kind of throws the rules out the window. Like, they embrace the paradox ideas. They don't really have a problem with crossing your own timelines. They don't really seem to have set points in time. You know, all that stuff you learned with, like, Doctor Who and the other shows really doesn't apply.
So kind of
there's only
too.
One rule that you have. Like, if you have two objects that are the same object but from different times, if
Darren, but that's the paradox thing. That's well, yeah. the paradox. Yeah.
Oh yeah, oh
that's
yeah.
That's why they embrace it.
You create a huge explosion, just it. Yeah.
So but it's kind of like timeless in that factor that they change the rules daily.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It was just like there's this one scene where the one of the main people is fighting, and he has the help of a future self.
Yeah.
And they're like bouncing. They're kind of teleporting around this person, and you don't know who's who. Okay.
It's good. There are times when it's confusing, as all good time travel shows should be.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't get all the answers you want to get. And it was a good season.
Is this based on the movie, or is this basically they went back to the original story and just restarted from scratch?
It pretty much the original story. It starts out a bit like the movie, but the movie didn't really get there. Like, the movie itself left you questioning at the end if there really was any time travel. Like, it was, you know, that's the way the movie worked.
Okay.
This goes deep into it, and it's like, yes, there is time travel, and here's all the stuff that's getting screwed up, and we have to save the world.
So it's a totally separate timeline from the movie.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Okay. Well, cool. I don't know. We didn't do anything but getting ready for this weekend, did we? We're just getting ready to go down.
I got my wood for my displays we're getting ready to make.
Yeah.
That was about it.
So, yeah, we just sat back and relaxed. We had last weekend, after we got done wrestling stuff, it was just relaxing most of the time. Oh, we did do the Memorial Day parade that we told everybody about.
That's right.
That's right.
And Cassie walked the whole parade.
Wow.
And passed out in the car before we even pulled out of the driveway.
Yeah, she curled up on the top of a couple of bags in the back and was done.
Nice.
The next day she had her first...
Yeah, I saw part of the video that someone took and put on Andy's timeline.
Okay, yeah. That was us setting up. Now, originally... The guy with the hearse actually brought, you saw there was two bikes that were kind of welded together. That was part of it.
Right.
Well, he also brought a bike with a sidecar. And Vicky and I were supposed to be riding that, but the wheel on the sidecar, it was an old wheel or something. And it actually started to bend when I turned too tight, and it started to bend the rim.
Oh.
Or else we would have been riding the bike with the sidecar all the way down the parade.
Oh.
So we ended up walking it.
So we ended up walking it and handing out, we had to hand out hundreds of flyers for Oddmall.
Nice.
Candy.
Nice.
But Andy had his van with all the flyers and balloons all over it. You know the Rock Anywhere fashion truck?
The big van.
The big van that's usually out front of Oddmall. That was there in the parade. And we had a hearse with that was all decorated up. And Andy had his two money monsters on top of it.
We had three three furries, and a fourth one that was on stilts.
Yeah, fourth girl on stilts. All of us dressed up as comic book characters. Ileana's brand new character, I don't remember who it is, but it's the new Oddmall mascot.
Molly.
She was there. Ollie? Or
Molly.
Molly? Okay, well, she was there. It was just a great time.
Both dogs, Albus and Cassie.
Yeah, Albus and Cassie were both walking the parade, and everybody wanted to see the dog. Look at the puppies! Look at the puppies!
I had a kid that thought Cassie was a wiener dog.
Yeah.
You know what Andy needs to do? He needs to do a run of a few dog t-shirts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, dog sizes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically just a children's
or at least like toddler sizes or something. He could sell them as like baby shirts at the show, but it would also fit the dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We can give him advertising that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna. I was telling Vicky, it's like, you know what? Next time we do a parade, though, we gotta have a little sign that says "Cassie the Wonder Pup" and find me on Instagram, and then we'll somehow have her pulling that behind her.
Right.
Make her a character in the parade.
Well, we wanted to get a card or something to put her in.
Yeah. So, but no, it was a good time. We all hung out and we were all dead afterwards. Because if you don't know, do you guys know the parade route, what it is?
Uh-uh.
We started at the high school on Butler Parkway over by the Giant Eagle in Green. You go out Butler to Maslin Road all the way down to the circle. And it stops basically at the school in front of Andy's house.
Ah, okay.
So it's a pretty long walk.
It's like 2 miles.
That's a long way, yeah.
Yeah, like 2.5 miles, so.
Wow.
But there was people all over the parade route. I'd say, there was probably at least 1,000 people, or if not more.
Oh, there was more than that. There was probably upwards, I would say, 5. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people heard about the new Oddmall Outpost that's coming, the Assembly of Odd.
Cool.
And about the shows and everything else, so. Hopefully it's going to translate into some great stuff.
The one thing I think we should mention about Oddmall, which, you know, now that we don't have one until September, we have some breathing space. At the September one, which is the Rubber City Rumpus at Derby Downs, Andy is putting together a bit of a car show.
Has he made that official announcement? I don't know he was talking about it.
Well, he has made an announcement about it and asking people if they have any kind of links to help him out finding people. He's really looking for geeky cars, but any kind of cool cars would be great too. And I know he's found a couple of guys who are helping him out. Yeah. But if there are any local listeners out there who either have a geeky kind of car, like if you have an Ecto-1, if you have a Batmobile, if you have a Mach 5, even if you just have a DeLorean or a 69 Black Impala, any of those kind of geek-related fandom cars, get in touch with Andy via the Oddmall page, oddmall.info, or if you have a connection with anyone and could pass that along to them, or you can even write to us at geekwatch1@gmail.com and we will pass the info along, because Andy's trying to kind of get as many awesome, cool cars as possible to do something a little different at this Odd Mall, since it's at Derby Downs and downtown Akron.
Well, the cool thing is the guy who had the hearse is a maker also. Obviously, he welded the bikes together. He made the sidecar. Right. I think I heard he was talking to Andy. He just got done making a motorcycle that had the theme of
Was it Batman?
Oh, it was Batman, but it was, I'm drawing a blank right now. The Killing Joke. He did a Killing Joke themed motorcycle.
Okay. Cool.
So that's possibly going to be there. So cool. We have plenty of time over the summer that, in knowing Andy, when he comes up with an idea, we've talked about this before, when Andy comes up with some crazy lame brain idea that would never work, it works.
It always works. Yeah.
Just because he's Andy.
He'll have something there. It's just a matter of how many, that's all.
Yeah, Andy had his dice enchanted to roll 20s every time or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
yeah, because
yeah, you know Andy. Yeah, he's a nat 20.
So, but we got a bunch of stuff we have to get into here. Did we have any other just news for us that we need to get through?
Not for us.
Well,
I gotta show.
Yeah. That's 3 weeks. We got, remember the Meeplecast is coming up again at the end of the month, 3 weeks on Saturday afternoon on, I don't have the date. Give me half 24th. A second. I'll have the date. The 24th. Yeah. That's because you got the showed up in Cleveland, but
and that would be the day we're talking about the next quarter of movies.
Oh, cool. So we already know what we're going to be doing on it too.
Exactly. We have the topic. Exactly.
So June 24th, 1:00 at the Malton Meeple. Come hang out with us. We're going to be talking about the movies for the third quarter of
which is all the big summer movies, even bigger than already.
And then come up and see me in Cleveland.
Yeah, and Vicky's going to be actually up in Cleveland at the Waterloo Art Fest, so I got to actually set her up, then come down back to the Malton Meeple in Hudson, then drive back up to Cleveland to help with her.
So there you go. If you come see us at the Meeple, you can just follow Ken back up.
That's right.
There's going to be because I know
there's no excuse.
There's going to be a ton of music up there and tons of stuff. Do
you guys
so
ever go
much.
To the Porch Rocker Festival in Highland Square or hear about it?
No, I know about it though.
Yeah. That's basically, Vicky said, that's what this looks like. It's going to be bands all over the place. There's like 6 or 7 different stages and stuff.
Ah, okay.
So, but let's hit Pirates first, because I don't think we're going to have as much to talk about with Pirates.
Well, we have some other news though.
Oh, you got
like
other news?
Geek news.
What? Nothing happened in geekdom.
Stuff happened.
So, what it is, okay, Dawn has 3 weeks worth of news that she hasn't been able to talk about yet.
No, see, I like to keep things relatively current, so I'm not even talking about the stuff in the past that we didn't talk about. this is just all stuff that came out this week. A couple of big things that I thought people might have missed. There was a leak that the Punisher show on Netflix is going to be coming out in November.
Cool.
And it was basically the director, I think it was, who was in an interview and let it slip that it was going to be November. Netflix has not tried to dispute that, and it's taken over a lot of blog sites and stuff. So it looks like Punisher will be November.
Okay.
Another TV-related thing is for comics is that Frank Miller's Sin City is going to be rebooted as a TV series.
That's going to be interesting. Is that going to be a pay TV, like an HBO or Showtime or something?
There's no network for it yet. They're just looking at doing the series.
Yeah, if you look for the what they would use to make a TV series out of it, that's kind of an adult series. Overall,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it's absolutely. I'm pretty sure both movies were rated R.
Yeah,
That's gonna definitely have to. If they want to do Sin City correctly, they're gonna have to go with HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, Starz, something like that.
They probably should for sure. I mean, you never know; it could end up going to Netflix as well, or Hulu, or something. So,
but those even.
But yeah, so that was
for their originals, Netflix and Hulu has kind of not shied away from it. They've really not taken that step into truly the hard R-rated TV shows like Westworld or Game of Thrones or something like that. They've really not stepped into that area yet.
I would put some of the episodes of the Marvel shows at R-rated. Not necessarily the entire series, but... Right.
But they go R-rated with the violence and stuff like that. They don't add in the sex and nudity and that type of things that the pay TV channels have no problem throwing
in there. True. Right. A lot of the Sin City stories that have not yet been brought up in those couple of movies aren't necessarily sex related though. They could go pretty far with the gangster and violence kind of stuff. But yeah, so just putting that out there because it's a pretty well known property. Also, there's been confirmation that the entire next season of Vikings will be airing in late 2017.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's coming early.
They're just about done post-production, and they said the air date's supposed to be 2017, and it'll be the entirety of the season.
Well, Merry Christmas to us.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to have a great fall.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
We're going to have a full fall.
Yeah. A couple of other little things. For anime fans, Studio Ghibli is going to be building a Totoro park in Japan.
Oh, you know that means that Andy's going to have to... Aurora's going to make Andy take a trip to Japan, right?
Exactly.
Because Rory loves Totoro.
I'm kind of surprised that it's like just that film and not the entirety of the studio with a bunch of films like the way Disney would do it where you have different lands or something.
Yeah.
So it's apparently just supposed to be that film.
Well, Japan, space is at a premium.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not be extremely large.
Well, it's part of a 200-hectare park that had previously been used in Expo 2005.
Okay, so yeah, it's not going to be like the size of like a Disneyland or anything.
No, not quite. And they're looking at it opening probably in 2020, so it's really not that far off. Like, that's a pretty quick turnaround to create a whole park.
Right.
But then again, they have, you know, pretty strict working rules that, you know, they'd get it done quick.
Right.
And the only other interesting thing I found this week... we all know that Rick Moranis, 20 years ago, took a break from acting to be with family.
Disappeared into the Canadian wilderness.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, he's making a return for a one-night-only kind of event to reunite with his buddy Dave Thomas, who we all know were Bob and Doug McKenzie, for a benefit. Apparently, his nephew suffered a spinal cord injury, and so he's doing a benefit concert in Toronto on July 18th with a whole bunch of basically Canadian comedy legends. Martin Short is going to be hosting it. Dan Aykroyd's going to be there. Eugene Levy, Paul Schaefer, all of the SCTV people.
Oh, nice.
And so Rick Moranis is coming back for that. And I just thought that was cool because we all love him in things like Spaceballs and Ghostbusters and all that. Right. And just the fact that, you know, it took something horrible for this to happen. But the fact that he's willing to do that because of, you know, it's a family related sort of thing and he's coming together. So I have this feeling like it'll have to be recorded. So at some point I'm hoping maybe it'll end up on Netflix or we'll be able to see it. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
And you never know what comes out of something like this, that he may do this and say, you know what, I miss doing this type of stuff and move on to something else or something. Because there's been a lot of rumors and Mel Brooks has been talking a lot about looking at Spaceballs again.
Yes, I heard about that.
Maybe update it with some of the newer stories that they've had. I mean, we've had, what, 6 or 7 or 8 movies since he did Spaceballs?
Right.
Exactly. You could have all kinds of things in a sequel. I mean, look at all the stuff he'd pull from. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, the horrible things Kylo he would Ren. Do with the original, with the prequels. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Well, no, but think of what he would do with the Kylo Ren type character.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a while since we had a Mel Brooks show, too, or movie.
That's true.
Well, because we live in a time now where, well, Mel Brooks makes no bones about, you know, being free about, you know, offending everyone.
Well, right now, Seth MacFarlane is this generation's Mel Brooks.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, so that could be part of it. He almost feels like he's not needed because we have Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, but have you seen? I'm like, Blazing Saddles, Family
watch
Guy.
See, the thing is, watching Mel Brooks movies even now, they're still wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's because we've talked about this before, that the 70s and 80s, when their comedy went to the borderline offensive there, it's downright, scandalous now.
Right.
It's almost
right.
like we've, it's like the censorship now is totally different. Instead of the stuff that was censored that you couldn't put on TV back then, it's totally fine now, but the politically incorrect stuff then, you can't touch right now.
Right.
It's like it's
right.
flipped it upside down or something. It's weird.
It's sort of like, if you look at people who are my friends on Facebook, I posted something earlier this week that I did not intend to be racist. I did not.
What you actually posted was not, but those of us who remember it from being kids and singing this little song, and there would be little actions you would do with it, that's the racist part.
I know, but see, the thing was, I told you, I was just casually saying it, because I wasn't even doing it, and it was just funny to me.
It's a little kid's jingle that involves dirty knees and looking at these.
Ah.
Yeah,
that's in there, because I was just sitting there, and I just casually said it, and I just died laughing. Because I just picture...
Because you're Kylan.
Yeah. I just picture somebody saying that just,
you
know. Dude, I was listening to our buddy Clint over at Geek Dig a couple... And he did something similar at work and not realizing because he was tired. And they were talking about trains or something. And he's got a boss, black boss. And everybody knows who he... Or everybody in the office is cool. He works for one of the DVD services.
Redbox.
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to say that, but he said something about, and he didn't attend it this way because he was half asleep, about something, the guy needing the Underground Railroad or taking the railroad underground. And he was talking about taking the subway.
Oh!
And his boss, knowing him and everybody being cool, had no problem with it. It just, when Clint woke up later, he brought it up, and now they just tease him relentlessly about it.
That's awesome. That's it. Next time we're in Toronto, Kylan's definitely going to have to call the subway the Underground Railroad.
You know, and it's funny because it ended in Canada.
Exactly. Okay.
Oh man, okay.
But next time we see Clint, you're gonna have to ask him that story.
That's right.
That's funny. Actually, Seth MacFarlane posted something on my page that I will not be able to ever unsee. Yeah,
you just said Seth MacFarlane posted something on your page.
No,
that's not right at all. Who posted on your page?
Not Seth.
Michael?
Michael.
Okay, Mike MacFarlane.
Michael MacFarlane posted something on my page that I will not be able to
It was related to your little jingle, and it was a clip from YouTube.
Yeah, it was from a movie. Okay. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, I didn't even know this was a thing, and I can't unsee it.
It's your own fault. You put it on your page.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So moving on.
Yes. Now that we've offended the entire world, good.
Exactly. Send us emails about it.
Just say no, stay in school. Even when it's summer.
That's right. So, Dawn, was there any other news that jumped out that we need to talk about?
No, that's all I had for now.
Well, let's move on. Pirates of the Caribbean has been out for 2 weeks. They've actually already passed, as of today, Sunday, they've passed the 500 million mark.
Nice.
But they didn't, and it wasn't a really great opening day weekend for them. I mean, it was a good opening weekend. They were number one, but the summer starting off, instead of with a bang, is just starting off with a, hey, there's movies out.
Memorial Day weekend was not a big hit for movies this year, and I know at least in our area, it was great weather, so that may have been part of it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
What?
I was bored out of my skull.
Oh, with Pirates? Well, we'll get to that. But, opening weekend for Pirates was only almost 63 million, which for an early in the year movie, that's pretty good. For your Memorial Day weekend movies, that's kind of on the low side, but nothing else even touched it that weekend.
Well, the problem was Baywatch also released that weekend and it crapped out with third place. So,
Baywatch is not doing anywhere near what they hoped it would. And I think a lot of it, they were hoping to bank on The Rock being in it.
It's actually been one of his lowest openings of a movie ever. I think it was like number 20th on the movies he's done for openings.
I still want to see it at some point, but I'm going to wait for Netflix or something later on.
That's just it. It's not a big movie, like a big screen movie kind of thing. It just doesn't. Yeah. No. And well, it just kind of looks kind of stupid anyway.
Yeah. I think they're trying to bank on the same people who loved, like, 21 Jump Street, and some people actually liked the Starsky and Hutch movie and stuff like that. Yeah. Is what they were banking on.
Right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like,
I was confused from the start as to why they were bothering. Aside from that whole banking on it thing and it being The Rock and, like, you know, they were hoping to attract a lot of women to it because it had shirtless Rock and shirtless Zac Efron or something. I don't know.
Right.
Who?
Wasn't Efron run around naked?
I don't know. It's possible because this one had a hard R and it had all the stuff that makes it a hard R supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
So and that's what's weird. If you actually watch the original show back in the 90s, yes, they sold the show on the girls running in slow motion on the beach, but it was actually kind of like a cop show on the beach.
It really was.
The lifeguards ran like cops and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know, I think that was kind of as much as I'm willing to watch trash TV, that was too much of a stretch for me. I'm like,
to believe cops on the beach?
Well, no, Pacific Blue, cops on the beach, yeah. But though they were bodyguards.
Lifeguards,
sorry. Bodyguards has VIP.
That's a totally different show sold on the same premise. The same thing sold show.
I would sit there and I would watch it, and I'm like, and you know, I think it was the first season. It had Parker Stevenson, who, you know, his other job, he was a lawyer. So he's a big money lawyer, but he's also, you know, part of this lifeguard team. And I'm just like, no.
Your imagination could not stretch that far.
I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, you're on the beach, mm-hmm. but yeah, no. Renegade. That's
stop.
What we need.
No. Yes. We're going to stop talking about those shows now.
Well, if we're bringing back Renegade, we need to bring back The Fall Guy. They're both bounty hunter shows.
The Fall Guy would work well now.
Yeah, The Fall Guy really would.
Yeah.
Renegade would too.
No, shut up, it wouldn't.
Don just does not like Renegade. I don't understand.
It's more a Lorenzo Lamas thing.
I say, Don doesn't like Lorenzo Lamas. And I think she's one of the few women that didn't like him back then. But let's get back into Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
So it's doing okay for them. Obviously, this probably isn't going to be as much as some of the bigger movies for them. We watched it, and Vicky said she was bored. It was interesting to me that it had very little actually Jack Sparrow story in it.
Well, it was like basically they took pieces out of the four movies and made this one.
Somewhat, a little bit. I was surprised to... I knew Orlando Bloom and them were going to be in it, but I was surprised how little they actually were in there.
That's because the fans bitched and they went back and put them in it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they weren't really supposed to be in it anyway based on the way the last one ended.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you look at the earlier movies, they're not really about Jack Sparrow. They never have been. The first couple movies, he was a side character, and it wasn't until the third movie that he became more of a main character.
Right.
It's just that Johnny Depp is the draw for the movies.
Yeah.
Right.
He's embraced and basically turned that character into like an icon almost.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. And I mean, that's why you go see it. You know he's going to be in it. And they've always said that if Johnny Depp didn't want to do Jack Sparrow anymore, they would definitely not do a movie. Like there's never going to be a Pirates of the Caribbean without Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
And at this point, they were saying this could be the last movie, but it's not definitive because Johnny Depp has not said he won't do anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think with this one,
I mean,
it does
Johnny
seem like...
Depp loves the character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I do think this was better than 3 and 4.
Yeah, this had much more of the adventure feel of the first couple. That's what it reminded me of. Like, it definitely went back to the first couple with. It was much quicker paced. It was. The storyline was more interesting, but it wasn't convoluted and drawn out like the last two.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think that part of the problem is what you said straight up, where 3 and 4, Jack Sparrow became pretty much the main character of the story, and it kind of mm-hmm. didn't work.
Yeah, they tried to get way too deep with it because, you know, he's the big draw, he's the big character, and it just kind of tried too hard.
Yeah, when they take out Will Turner and Swan, and those were the characters that were actually driving the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's kind of hard to make, because these movies were driven on a love story, really. It's the two of them's
love
story.
That's why they brought the two.
Uh-huh. That's why they came back at this one.
With two kids.
Right.
But and then the two kids in this one brought the love story back into it. It's kind of hard to build Jack Sparrow a love story that people are going to watch.
Right.
Yeah, it's him and his boat.
Yeah, it's all about his love of the Black Pearl.
Yes, it is.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, after five movies, they have never fully explained why it's that particular ship.
Yeah, what it is about Black Pearl.
Did he steal it?
From the beginning, it's been his search for the Black Pearl. From the beginning, he's had a thing for that ship. It's always been that ship. That's his ship. He has to have the ship. All of that. But they've never really explained why.
No, no.
And I kind of like that and don't like it at the same time.
Yeah.
What? So, like, I don't, at this point, I don't necessarily want to know why, because it won't be what I want.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be like, some people had a problem with the prequels for Star Wars because they went back and actually explained what everybody had their own headcanon about.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you don't need to know why he has the Black Pearl. He just does.
Right.
Because if you look at that ship compared to a lot of the other ones, it's not really all that big. It's not all that special.
Right, right. It's really not that special a ship. There's nothing about it.
No, it's sort of like when you watch the A-Team and BA has the van, and you're like,
he's just in love with the van. You don't question the man's love for his vehicle. That's what it comes down to.
Why that one? Why did he have the foresight to build stuff? Like, it's his. I'm good.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to. Overall,
Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my favorite franchises, partly because I like the pirate stories, partly because as a kid, it was like my favorite ride at Disney when we go every year. It was like, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that in the first movie, they had so many Easter eggs and callbacks to the ride itself is what got me hooked on it.
Yeah.
And so I've always loved the franchise. It kind of doesn't matter to me if the movie is not as great as it could be. I still love it.
Right.
So I'm going to like it no matter what they come out with. But yeah. I did like kind of the premise of this, there's actually a way to break all the curses.
Yeah, that's interesting seeing. Because you got to look at this. If they go to a sixth movie, what's the whole point of it? Because every one of them is a different curse that they're having to deal with.
Well, the thing is, though, they left a massive plot hole in this part because they say that it broke all the curses, and yet in that end clip, when Will and Elizabeth are lying in bed and Will supposedly has a bad dream and it's Davy Jones that has shown up, it's him because the shadow has tentacles on the face. If the curses were broken, he would not be that way.
Yeah.
So it left that kind of like, well, what the hell?
That's true. I mean, because I'm like, I was thinking maybe it was just a dream. But
then there's no point if the curses are all broken. What's the point? You don't need a movie now.
Well, there are some curses that are just too powerful.
It's pretty much over.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing about these movies that it's like when they made the first Pirates of the Caribbean, you ended up with a bunch of other sailing type movies that tried to come out too.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something about these. I think part of it's the supernatural elements.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is just the straight old school swashbuckling style.
Yes.
This is the type of film that like an Errol Flynn or Basil Rathbone would have been making back in the 30s or 40s.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that the musical scores for this. Love it that in this they've embraced that this musical score is a character in the movie. There's too many movies. I was talking to Vicky about this and some other people that. And Cameron also, especially, he gets ticked off about so many things anyway. But it bothers him so much that the modern directors seem to have taken it to where the music is not a character in the movie anymore. It's just something that runs in the background so it's not dead space.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The music is as much a character as it is in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just a combination of all this stuff put together at the right time, at the right place, and it works every time. Yeah, this isn't the strongest of the movies, but no. I still had fun with it.
And it still gives you pieces of the full story, even if you didn't have like the younger romance plot and that kind of thing and the new characters, it would still give you bits of the greater story with Barbossa and with Sparrow and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's another one that's interesting, that after five movies, they're still bringing you more Barbossa stuff.
Right.
Right.
And this is a guy that you think he's the villain of the first movie, and it's done. He's to move on to someone else after this, but he's been there the entire time, off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole saga
Although
of the film
anymore,
is the fight.
I'm pretty sure.
Well,
yeah.
The whole saga of these stories is the fight between Jack Sparrow and Captain Barbossa on who's going to keep the
yeah.
ship.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then in the end, it's kind of like, well, you know what? The whole sacrifice thing
yeah.
was kind of. A surprise twist, but not a huge one, you know?
Right.
Well, until he met, I forget her name in this, but until he met her, I didn't realize that, or I had no inkling or tease that there was any family relationship.
Right.
I didn't know.
I mean, they didn't really let it slip, though.
Yeah.
They did a good job of pretty much covering that up until it really got to the reveal. You got a little bit of it just before they actually went for it, but yeah.
So overall, I think it was, like I said, this ranks higher than 3 and 4, but the first two were the top for me for the Pirates movies. So this one would probably
yeah.
fit dead center in this.
Yeah, I would put it about the same because it did harken back to the originals, but at the same time wasn't quite as involved but it had the fun adventure though, like the whole opening sequence of them. Stealing, robbing the bank, and you know the
yeah.
whole
yeah.
entire bank goes.
Well, last week on the,
or, you know, he opened the vault and there's Jack with the governor's wife.
That yeah. that's pirates. So that's just Jack Sparrow.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Kylan, last week in the Lost episode, you mentioned there
yeah.
was a cameo that you weren't expecting in this. Who? What
yep.
was the cameo you were talking about? Which one?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, is that Paul McCartney? That was his uncle.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know who that was.
I mean, I think it worked well as a bit of a cameo, but I didn't think it was absolutely necessary that it be Paul McCartney. I just
yeah.
think he wanted to be in a pirate movie. I think, quite honestly, I think the story is that he wanted to be in a pirate movie, and he asked, and they said, okay.
Well, the thing is, it's one of those
that... That's all
that
it takes when you're well-known enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's one of those that they do it in movies all the time to where it's not necessary, but it really didn't take away from anything either.
No, it didn't.
So
I don't know. I'm just sitting there watching, you know, that I'm watching the whole scene. I'm like, why does that person look familiar to me? You know, I'm like, because you just know.
Yeah.
That that the scene, not that it didn't fit, but it just seemed, it's kind of stuck out like a sore thumb.
Well, it's kind of like,
yeah,
like,
it didn't flow well. Like it was just kind of like, oh, hey, it's my uncle. And I'm talking to him about stuff that doesn't even matter for the plot. And okay.
Well, after what they did with, I think, was it Keith Richards in the last movie? You knew
yeah.
something, when I saw that movie, I was like, or that scene, I'm like, yeah, that's got to be someone famous.
Yeah.
At least
Keith Richards fit because that's who Johnny Depp kind of fashioned Jack Sparrow on. So him
yeah.
being his dad kind of fit for all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was his thing.
I think what got me was Paul McCartney with a beard just does not look natural.
No, no. You know, it, like Don said, you know, he has very distinctive eyes.
Yeah, that's how you knew it was him. It was the eyes.
Yeah, I kept looking. I'm like, why am I? You know, but, you know, so, yeah, but that's what it was. Like, that was the surprise for me.
The funny thing is, it was a surprise for Kylan, but if he had paid attention to some of the press ahead of time, he would have known because there's actually a Pirates of the Caribbean poster with Paul McCartney on it.
Yeah, I
and
think
it says
I had heard
Paul
something
McCartney.
About him being in it. I just forgot.
But you know what? I don't. I if it's a movie that I want to see, like
well,
I just don't.
Hidden,
like,
it wasn't hidden, though. It wasn't hidden.
I know, but I mean, I just kind of I blind myself from a lot of the press and stuff because I want to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't, you know, it's probably like as I get closer to Kingsman, like I'm pretty much at the point
you
where
know,
I know everything I want to know about Kingsman.
You know how close you are to Kingsman? It's like 2 weeks away.
It is?
Is it?
No.
I was thinking it was September.
Yeah,
did
that's coming in the fall.
Date? They changed it then because it was supposed to be June.
I'm on IMDb right now anyway. Let me look it up.
They changed it then.
Kingsman Golden Circle, right?
Yeah.
Release date. I don't see it here. I can Google it real quick. That's one thing about every once in a while we do these Skype shows is I can Google as we're going.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so back to the back to Pirates. I don't know. I think it worked well enough for another part of the series. I don't know. The way they ended it would be fine if they ended the whole series that way.
Right, yeah.
It would be a fine ending. Even with that little clip at the end, it would still be fine. I don't know how much further they can really go with it. You know, like we said, with the curse being broken, with, I mean, it's just, the next movie would be another adventure on the sea with them trying to get away from someone who's trying to get something from them, and they find it at the end, and everyone's happy.
I was happy that they had a lot of scenes on the sea, because the last one, if you remember, had a lot of stuff on land.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, this one had scenes under the sea.
Yes. So. And Kingsman is September 22nd.
Oh, it is. Okay. Initially, it was supposed to be June.
Oh, okay. But actually, we're going to run out of time if we don't switch over from here, though.
Yes. Yes, we should.
So, yeah, Pirates, like I said, it was fun. For me, it was the middle of the five movies on how well they were done. But it's still worth checking out. I mean, it's Pirates of the Caribbean. What do you expect?
Have you seen the other ones? Come on, just go see it.
Swords and muskets and ships. That's in Pirates.
Exactly. I think that's the only time you're getting that this summer, so you should go see it.
Yeah. But at this point, we need to switch over to Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yes.
And Wonder Woman, as of now, remember, we record this Saturday or Sunday afternoon, so not all the receipts are in, but it's already at 100,500,000 for domestic. Yep. And it's over 223 million worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's low for the other DC, newer DC cinematic movies, but it's the most they've ever made on a female-led, female-directed movie.
Yes.
So and this one is going. I predict this one's going to blow out the rest of them in the long run on money-wise.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it will, because it has. It definitely has staying power. I think a lot of people wanted to wait till the first weekend was over because of all the hype about it and yes. all of the, you know, great reviews and everything. And I think that actually keeps people away from theaters on opening weekend sometimes because they think they're going to be so busy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are not fans of crowded theaters. So it'll have staying power. It'll probably stay number one for at least most of the month.
Well, I know one of my friends who saw it this weekend already said that she's going back. She's going to see it again next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we had Vernon went with us. Vernon and Liv went with Jesse and Vicky and I to go see it Thursday night, which Regal screwed up. Regal had actually, the Regal president a couple weeks ago said that if you go see it at Regal, you get the special glasses, the 3D glasses, if you go see it at 3D.
Okay.
Well, no, that was if you went to go see it at IMAX or the RPX theaters.
Oh.
And keep going.
But I had talked to the manager about it just to see what the real story was, because we were there as part of Superpowers to report on the film, kind of. Mm-hmm. Or we used it as an excuse to report on the film.
You guys were live.
But the manager for the theater was pulling the poster out of the case.
Hang
on. Was pulling the poster out of the case inside just because they're switching over now the movie's out. And he actually came in and gave it to me and Vernon for since we were looking for the glasses, he gave it to me. So I have the theatrical one sheet, which is awesome.
And?
Oh.
But and then they started the movie and
didn't even have any posters.
Oh, yeah.
Anything, like they didn't even have the thing to go across the top of the theater to see what was in it. They had nothing.
Either Regal or Warner Brothers dropped the ball. Well, this has been the story of Wonder Woman for the last month or so, that the marketing has pretty much fallen. There's not been much marketing for this.
Well, that, and the guy
That's
even
true.
Said they did it for opening for Beauty and the Beast to boot.
Yeah. So Regal's been dropping the ball on this stuff, I guess. Like, they didn't have the big banners or anything like that. They just had the regular posters, and that's it.
Cinemark didn't have any big banners.
That's weird. Well, like I said,
we went to the Cinemark in the Falls and yesterday, and they didn't have anything extra.
So Warner Brothers seems like they didn't put a whole lot of marketing effort into this one either. So it's doing pretty good considering that how little they've actually done with it. And I don't watch regular on TV, but I've heard a lot of people said they've not seen much of this on TV either.
No, there hasn't been a lot. But the other thing is, this is the movie that's gotten so much word of mouth, so much internet play, so many tweets about it.
Yeah,
it's almost like Warner Brothers doesn't need to spend the money.
No, but
that's true too. You know, I think like Don and I were talking about this. There's some movies, like, you know, if there was, you almost get inundated with the TV presence, Transformers. You just get like, I'm over it. But you know, I think Wonder Woman, maybe this was a good thing that there wasn't a lot of TV press.
Yeah.
Because word of mouth carries more weight than anything else.
Yeah.
But it also makes you wonder, though, what the what the studio thinks of this, that they're not putting the extra effort into it.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, from a business side, you know,
even though it's going to be making huge money, and that it will hopefully make them think, well, what could we have made if we did put more money into that? If exactly. we did put more advertising out there.
The only other thing is, or go ahead, keep going.
No, and like we saw, like one of the trailers we saw was for Justice League.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I mean, this was like, it was kind of like the first big film to show the trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
the trailer's been out for a couple of weeks online, but it was cool to see it in the on the theater.
Yeah, like you knew they were waiting. You knew they were going to wait for Wonder Woman to show the trailer to everybody. And I'm just kind of hoping that, like, you're not going to get inundated with it now that it's out. Because, like, you know, like we were saying earlier, we've seen the Transformers trailer at the beginning of every single damn movie for the past few months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of that. We have not seen the Star Wars trailer with every movie. We have not seen the Spider-Man one with every movie. It's kind of like there are certain movies they're just like, here, look, you got to go see it. You got to go see it. It's like, shut up. I'm sick of you already. I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah. But the one thing, though, wait, I don't remember where I was going with this.
I was going to say, when it comes to this, that's why it's like you go saying the word of mouth. You know, the podcast and some other ones like that, they get it out better than what maybe they could have.
Yeah.
Right.
Without shoving it down your throat.
Absolutely. So,
but nice thing is everybody was worried that this looks like a great movie. I hope it's good. I think this one did really well. The first half of it, now, this isn't my favorite origin for Wonder Woman, personally. I like the original origin where she's just one of the Amazons and all of them are strong and, after she won the tournament, she was gifted the powers and stuff that she gets. And this one, to go with more of the modern take on Wonder Woman, where she's actually a demigod.
Yeah, but the rest of them were just as strong. They just didn't
on the island, no.
They didn't have the ability.
Okay.
They didn't have the extra abilities that she came out with. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think it was awesome. And they didn't change much in the origin for the modern origin. And it's cool because it takes parts of the original story origin with the building her out of clay and stuff, but adds the other stuff to it.
Right.
But
the whole thing with Zeus was always part of the original origin. It's just the giving her those extra abilities from that birth. That was the modern
actually counting her as a daughter of Zeus.
Well, yeah. It just explains how she got her abilities a little bit more.
Yeah. And but the cool thing is the second half of the movie was 100% original story.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the people who were actually complaining a little bit about it being, switching it to World War I instead of World War II, if you look at the actual story in the second half, that could have been either war.
Yeah.
She's still fighting against the Germans. The Germans are trying to build a super weapon to destroy everybody. That could have been the Nazis just as easily as it could have been World War I.
And quite honestly, if they said it in World War II, it would be too much of a replica of Captain America.
Exactly.
Well, see, the other side of that is, see, with Captain America, they were able to do World War II because they focused on Hydra. There is no Nazi images.
That's true.
That's the thing. Like in Germany, they don't show any Nazi images ever.
Yeah.
And so that's the other reason why it was changed to World War I.
Yeah, for world releases, it could be an issue.
Right.
And the other reason, I saw an interview with Patty Jenkins, the director, and she said she actually had thought about it being World War II at first. And when she saw the script and it was World War I, she wasn't so sure about it. But as she was reading through it, she realized how well it worked because that was the first mechanized war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made sense to have Wonder Woman who doesn't get involved in guns be part of that war.
Right.
And kind of discover them as they were discovering them.
Right.
Well, that, in some of the stuff like of what World War I was, what it was called and stuff, the war to end all wars, this movie was basically, the whole theme of this movie was Wonder Woman stopping war, period.
Yes.
And that's what the whole idea behind World War I, when the people were fighting, is they thought this would be the final war. You would have no wars after this.
Right.
And that's basically, in World War II, I don't think they had that much, they weren't thinking about that as much. They were thinking,
they'd already been through the first that was supposedly the only, and then they came up with a second, and they're like, well, okay, there's going to be more.
Right.
But I loved this movie. I thought this one it doesn't beat it for me, but it's close on for DC movies with the original Superman movie to me.
Like the Christopher Reeve?
Yeah, the Christopher Reeve's original Superman movie. For me, that's the bar I measure most superhero movies at, is that original Christopher Reeve Superman.
And I can agree with you on that. When I was a kid, I loved the Superman movies. And it was because they were the character. They didn't try to change it. They didn't, like, the stuff with the most recent Batman and Superman, where they're kind of changing the essence of the characters, they're changing the looks, they're changing a lot of stuff to try to make it more relevant and more interesting. It doesn't work for me as being the character.
Yeah.
The original Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, he was Superman.
Yeah.
Right.
And in this, even though I have casting issues, at least in the fighting scenes, I felt like this was Wonder Woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that...
I didn't know until my coworker told me. I guess she was pregnant during most of that filming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And they actually did a very good job of hiding that. Now that explains why she was like wearing a lot of robes and capes and stuff.
Well, I mean, early enough on, though, it doesn't show. Like, in a lot of women, it doesn't show until they're, like, 5 or 6 months something. So.
I think they finally figured out how to do this. And I was surprised at the end when I saw that the story for this, Scott Snyder had some of this idea, or not, was it Zack Snyder? Mm-hmm. Who actually got a credit for part of the story for this, because this did not feel like a Zack Snyder movie.
No, but I think it's because they kind of look at him as the overseer of a lot of this universe.
Okay.
That he has a hand in it to some degree, especially in terms of how he wants to fit it in with the other movies. And if you think of how Wonder Woman opened, being right after Bat Soup, that it was that bit of plot line that would have fit in with his movies.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that where you said the plot line there is, I think that's where it comes into, because I think when they started Man of Steel and they knew they wanted to build a Marvel type universe, he sat down with them and plotted out where are we going.
Exactly.
So the Wonder Woman movie was part of that.
Right.
And the idea of what it was going to be.
Right. He didn't have to have a hand in any of the rest of it, because it went all the way back to the early 1900s. That has nothing to do with the movies that he's doing.
No.
Yeah. And I like the way they actually used color in this. Like, there was three distinct parts of this movie color-wise. At the very beginning, you get Paradise Island. It is beautiful and colorful and tropical island. After they move past that, you get into London and then into the actual war scenes, and it's gray and filtered to look that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's colors in there, and they're not muted as bad as they are in some of the other ones, but you can see it's a lot more grayscale. Then you get the battle at night, and it is a night battle.
Right.
So,
it was shot really well. Like, there was always something to look at on the screen that was interesting in some way.
Yeah.
There was no, like, you know, there are some movies where you feel like some shots are just drawn out or completely unnecessary. It's like this one, it was pretty tight with the way it was shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think hopefully, like I said, this one does well. It does at least as well as all the other ones did. And maybe Warner Brothers will actually look at this and say, hey, wait, maybe we don't have to be dark and gritty.
All the time. Because, yeah, that's the other thing. You look at the Justice League trailer and you're like, oh, look, it's dark.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, Joss Whedon's in charge now. They may change some of that.
Yeah, well.
But,
he's only temporarily in charge of the end of it. So. Yeah,
he's finishing up post-production. But I know, from what I heard, a lot of the... this is actually one of the things we were talking about last week. A lot of the reshoots they did a couple months ago, Joss Whedon may have actually been in charge of this movie a lot earlier than people thought it was. He may have gone all the way back to March that he's actually been working on this.
Well, yeah, because Zack Snyder's family had their tragedy in March, and it was only just recently released that he was stepping aside. So I think it probably was all the way back in March.
And one of the major rumors is that the amount of reshoots they did in the last 2 to 3 months, you could make almost a brand new movie out of it.
Wow.
Wow.
So, hopefully, Joss Whedon's putting more of his stamp on it, because we've seen he can actually do Bright and Hopeful also.
True, but I mean, when you're taking over for a director who shot the entire movie, you're not really supposed to be going in and changing their vision for it.
Yeah.
So, I can't see him having changed all that much.
Well, another thing they said, I know Zack Snyder said this after Batman v Superman and specifically, because everybody's talking about how dark and it just was, it didn't feel right. He and his wife, who was the producer, both said that this is actually supposed to be the darkest of the DC films. From here, you move back towards the light. And this Wonder Woman is showing that already. So hopefully this is a good sign in moving in the right direction.
Yeah, if you think about it, though, like you can see why Batman would have a dark movie.
Yeah.
You could see, based on Man of Steel, why Superman would have a dark movie. You can't see why Wonder Woman would have a dark movie, though.
No.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, and especially putting it in the time period it was set, it wouldn't have made sense for it to have been that dark.
Right.
Well, the nice thing with this was trailers did a great job of this. For once, they actually did something right. And the actual villain of this film really wasn't in the trailers.
True.
They actually kept that not as much a secret. If you know Wonder Woman and know the way they're at the beginning of this movie, they start talking about it. You know that Ares is going to figure into this somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't put that in the trailers. They didn't put it right out in front of you saying, "Hey, come see Ares fight Wonder Woman."
Right.
So
they did a pretty good job of bait and switch.
Yeah,
I think for most people, because even in the trailers. It was the German that they put out front with everything. And, you know, any presumption could be that it was him, the way she presumed. But
mm-hmm. Or it could have been Dr. Morrow.
I don't think it was that big a twist for it to be who it was, because I kind of figured that one out. But
see, that one, I was surprised when we find out who it actually was.
I thought it was a chick, the doctor.
Yeah. I was disappointed because, well, I don't think it was a good casting for that. I mean, it was good for the sake of him being hidden that way, but just a twerpy English voice is not good for Ares. when he transforms into his true self at the end there, just the voice coming out of him just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, I needed something like deep and grumbly.
But no, overall, I think they did this movie, figured out the things that have been done right in the Warner Brothers movies, because there have been some things that were done right and done well, without taking the stuff that wasn't done right. Like, if you look all the way back even to the Green Lantern movie, which everybody in general pans as a terrible movie, I've always said I think what it is it was too many movies all at once.
Yes.
Too many stories at once. Batman v Superman, you could say the same thing. There was too many different stories trying to go on all at once and fight for screen time.
Right.
Then you get the Suicide Squad. It's the exact opposite. There wasn't enough story there.
It's all about the short.
We don't need to talk about that horrible movie.
Well, it's all about the short. But that, in general, that's the plot in it was way too thin. There wasn't enough story.
Yeah, there was nothing to that movie.
They went almost dead center between those.
Yeah,
there are two or three stories running together, but all of them focus on the main story of the movie.
Yes,
this was the way you should make a superhero movie.
Well, I think I said this on Facebook. They finally managed to make a Marvel caliber movie.
Yeah.
One that actually sticks with its own, you know, its singular plot, focusing. It gives you enough of the origin to not be an origin story movie.
Right.
But yeah, to help you along with the rest of the plot, knowing where she came from, why you get fish out of water when she gets to London, you know, making that cute transition kind of thing. And that, but you also know her motivation. You also know why she's doing what she's doing.
Yeah, when she decides to cross that battlefield and save the village, you know why she's doing it.
Right.
And they did it enough times before that of them saying, "No, we got to keep moving. I know you want to help these people. We can't. We got a mission we got to do."
Yeah.
Eventually, she's like, "You know what? No, these people need help. I'm doing it."
Yeah. And one of my friends said, "This was not a good superhero movie. This was a good movie, and it was a good war movie."
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't... Her being a superhero didn't take you out of the fact that it was a movie about war.
No.
Yeah.
Well, see, they did what... with like, over on My Marvel Geeks, they made a movie about a woman who happens to be a god.
Yeah.
That,
which is the Marvel premise for their movies. Marvel does people who happen to have powers.
Right. You know, like I said, it was still, I mean, you still witness the horrors of war. You still witness somebody's desire to do good in spite of the circumstances that surrounds them. All things that touch us on a human level. And we got to see that on the big screen. And that was something that was missing and all the other, because I think they thought it was going to be the hero part that that would draw us in. No, it's the human story that draws us in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and that's the other thing. If you look at the other DC movies, the earlier ones, they're set in a not entirely real world setting.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily identify with what's going on.
Right.
Whereas this, you can't not know the history of World War I to mm-hmm. some degree.
Right.
Yeah.
You understand what's going on. You understand war in general. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to identify with as a story and then bring the superhero into that mm-hmm. to do what Amazons are supposed to do, to protect mankind.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is they actually took that's the classic thing of Amazons, what they were. But yep. Most people have heard of Amazons but don't know anything about them. They did in one paragraph of dialogue at the beginning, they actually basically, in that short, like, two-minute story, they explained everything that you need to know about Amazons.
Yep.
Right.
So,
And the bit on Themyscira, I mean, that showing them training all the time and that's their existence. And I think that was a good way to explain it. You just show it.
Right.
You just show what they're doing all the time. And you have no reference for the time period. Patty Jenkins actually said Wonder Woman's probably 700 to 800 years old in this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't even need to know that. Like, you don't need to know how long she's been on that island. You don't need to know what year she was born or formed in clay. You don't need to know any of that.
Right.
To get the entire background and to see how she was raised and why it's all about fighting and not giving up, and how they're taught just to train and train and you never turn your back and you never give up, and yet you also care for people because that's why you're doing this.
Yeah. Another thing I found that was awesome with this movie was actually Vicky and Jesse pointed this out, that they were talking at the beginning that out of the modern, or even if you go back to all the way back to until you get back to Batman and Robin, really DC's not made any movies yet that really you could feel comfortable bringing any age person to, or that most people would feel comfortable bringing any age kid or adult to this movie. There wasn't anything really truly offensive in this. And the one point which Chris Pine's walking around kind of naked, they do it for comedy.
Yeah.
So you play it off.
It's nice for a change that you have the guy who's buck naked and not topless woman.
But if you look at the movie in general, yeah, there's a lot of violence, but there's nothing really that's overly offensive for kids. This would actually make a good family movie.
And actually, if you think about the fact that it is based on some actual events and an actual time period, it could be used, you know, in a sense of teaching kids about it and having them gain more of an interest in history because of it. Right, and then you have the Greek mythology aspect of it.
Yeah. Right.
You could get kids more interested in mythology that way, too.
It was mythology that got me into comics.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Well, General Ludendorff, the villain in this movie, is an actual character from World War I. He was a German general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's like, you want to know where this guy came from, you look, and they just Google him or whatever, this character, see if he's from the comic books. No, this is a guy who actually was leading the German armies in World War I.
Right.
See, this just turned into, like, Voyagers. Because, like, you know, the school, like, at the end of the episode, if you want to learn more about... I mean that in the best sense of it.
We just moved to PBS.
That's right.
Because I'm like, I was that kid.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw a movie and then I saw that was based on real events, I wanted to know more about mm-hmm. those real events.
And interestingly, that was one of the excuses they've used for not having a Wonder Woman movie yet, is the mythology. Because of her origins, and in the comics, the gods show up a lot for her to fight. She fights Ares all the time. She doesn't actually kill him.
Yeah.
Like she fights him a lot in the comics, and other goddesses and gods and stuff, because they're not all dead like they are in the movie. But that's one of the excuses they used for not making a Wonder Woman movie to this point, because they didn't know how to address the mythology. And I think the way they did it in this movie with that kind of artistic shots of the war mm-hmm. of the gods and such at the beginning got it out of the way so fast.
Right.
And it was just like, just accept it. Just move on. Accept that Zeus is her dad. She's a goddess. And we're moving on from there.
Right.
What is the history of superhero movies at this point now, because of a lot of it is because of what Marvel has done, but also what mm-hmm. DC has done even before Marvel did theirs, was it's gotten to the point where even the mainstream, if you say this happened in something in a superhero movie, they're like, okay, it happened.
That's just it. That's true. That's the point we've gotten to. It's kind of like we know these are comic books. We know this is fantasy. Just accept it. You're sitting in the seat anyway, and you're going to enjoy the damn thing.
Well, I mean, Thor, now, and now I'll be honest with you, and you know how I feel about Marvel. But Thor, I could take or leave as a character. Like, I like him with the Avengers, but I was just not one to buy a Thor comic, okay? Yeah. But then, you know, I watched the Thor movie, and I was drawn in,
yeah.
You know? And I was just like, you know what? I mean, this is Norse mythology. And truth is, like, a lot of times when we're in school, we're getting Greek, we're getting Roman. They don't really touch on Norse and that sort of thing. But, you know, I got pulled into it. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the movies do. Like, the comics are one thing because the comics can delve deep into whatever they want to delve into.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the movies have to grab you. The movies have to be relatable enough to get the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've managed to do. And that's what Wonder Woman does in a great way. And it's not just because it's the first female superhero movie. It's not just because, you know, it's a woman on the screen leading the movie. And they've made a big deal about that. And it kind of bothers me that that's the big deal they're making about it, because it should just be seen as this is a good movie among all of them, not just because it's a female superhero.
Well, I was going to say,
talking about Wonder Woman, I start reading a story on it, and I could only get halfway through. They were complaining that she wasn't American enough, and everybody posted back and said she's not.
Yeah, she's never been American.
That was Fox News. A reporter on Fox News, one of the newscast anchors or something there, actually said that. He's like, well, where are the stars on her uniform? She's not patriotic.
Well,
because
she's
not American.
She's Greek, and no.
The stars didn't have anything to do with the American flag when they were put on her costume.
No.
Well, originally they probably were, because these were World War II comics. So they wanted to put the patriotism into the comics. That's probably why that was put on her uniform, but that's not eventually why they were there.
And they weren't always there. That's the point. Like, you know, she changed her costume, she changed the look, even if it all stayed the dress. They weren't always there.
No.
And I saw that too, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
The other thing I like about it was that there was not this attempt to nod or wink at the TV series,
right?
You know, and I think sometimes, like, although to be fair, they never did that in any of the Superman movies. No. They never did any.
But they didn't even try to get like a Linda Carter cameo or something because, which I think was good. Like sometimes, you know, like we talked about with Pirates, the cameos can pull you out when you notice that there's something about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the Stan Lee cameo. That's something completely different.
Although they did do a tribute to the first Superman movie, when they're in London and they first get attacked, and Diana saves Steve with her gauntlet with the bullet.
Yeah,
that's when Clark first saves Lois and then passes out.
Yes,
that was their tribute to the original Superman.
Ah, okay. I remember that. And then he had the bullet.
He had the bullet in his hand.
Yes,
They said they did that on purpose, which I thought was cute.
Yeah,
actually, Dawn educated me on something regarding Wonder Woman that I wasn't even aware of. Now, Dawn's a black belt. I'm like maybe a green belt when it comes to this sort of thing. But I didn't realize that Wonder Woman herself is actually pretty much bulletproof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
like,
she's basically the Luke Cage of DC.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
the
she
modern...
Doesn't,
originally,
she
wasn't.
Gauntlets. The gauntlets deflect, but technically she doesn't need them.
Yeah, Wonder Woman over the years has gained a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally the gauntlets were because she wasn't bulletproof. She had strength, but that's pretty much it. Why she had the jet? Because she couldn't fly.
Yeah. And Patty Jenkins has said over the course of movies, her powers are going to increase and change, and there's a possibility of flight.
Yeah. Well, they've shown in this that she's just now activated the demigod abilities.
Yes. It took her rage to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one interesting thing I want to point out that I saw a fan theory about this, but it's actually pretty good. Now, we all know that Dr. Poison escapes at the end.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Diana doesn't throw the tank on her. And the capsules she was creating to enhance the power of the general.
Yeah, it was her version of a super soldier serum.
Right. Well, if she has escaped, there's a possibility that she could further enhance that serum. And essentially, we've seen the origin of Bane.
Ooh.
Not being her, yeah, but this serum being what Bane would use. Because the Bane that we've already seen in the Dark Knight movies doesn't exist in this timeline now. Yeah. So
maybe the first incarnation of the Venom.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a pretty good possibility based on what it did.
She venomates herself and was pregnant.
Ooh, there you go.
Okay. So Bane's grandfather is born through there or something.
There you go.
That'd be interesting, because we do have Batman movies coming up. We have much more than that. Yeah.
I would love to see the more traditional Bane. Like, Bane is one of my favorite villains. I would love to see the more traditional, you know, hoses going around and all that kind of venom going through. I would love to see that.
Born in Santa Prisca, was tortured his whole life, eventually hears about Batman and decides, you know what? I'm going to prove that I'm better than him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows up to kill him. It's not because
it didn't really... The Thomas Hardy version did not really work for me.
I don't think they've done Bane truly like what the original Bane was from the Nightfall and all those yet. We've not seen the real Bane on TV or on movies.
Depending the way the Justice League movie goes and further Batman movies go, I think that would be great to see the Bane in the movies.
Well, as
because
of right
we've
now,
we've seen enough of the Joker. I don't want to see the Joker anymore.
Yeah. it'll be fun. Well, no, we've already seen him in this. So at this point, the Batman movies we're going to get are going to be after Batman v Superman, more than likely. So he's already fought Joker and done all that stuff. And we know that from seeing like Suicide Squad and some of these other ones.
Right.
So we don't need to go back to that story. I mean, if they were a TV series, yes, the Joker would show up every so often because that's the way you do it.
But, that's right.
No, overall, though, I think this was very well done. This was... the best DC movie we've had in years.
Yes.
Yep.
So I don't know. What is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on before we wrap this up? We're getting towards the end here anyway.
I think we're good.
I was gonna say all I can say is at what they were able to do with this, that makes me actually want to see Justice League and Aquaman and see what they're gonna do with them.
Yeah. See which other ones.
It does make you hopeful for Justice League, despite the way the trailer looks. and it makes me more hopeful for Aquaman being a single character movie, what they could do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you guys seen the information from the theatrical promo stuff that's available for Justice League? The company that makes all of your in-theater concessions promo stuff put out a picture and some of the stuff of what they're making available for Justice League. Have you seen any of that?
No.
No.
Superman is part of the team on all of that.
Well, yeah, because he would be. We all know he's coming back to life.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking at it. Well, that's like I told you that in the trailer for this, they didn't tell you who the villain was. That's one of those I think is like they shouldn't be putting Superman on any of this. And that some people
it's
will be surprised.
It's not Superman. It's the fact that they haven't put the number 7 on there yet. That's 6 characters. They still have not told you 7, which everyone is presuming is Green Lantern.
Ah, wait. Right. There's only
because
6?
Because from the beginning, it's been Unite the 7. And there are only 6 characters we know of.
Ooh, interesting.
It's got to be Green Lantern. I mean, look at the intro sequence of the DC logo for the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
It has all 6 of those plus Green Lantern. That's the only one that's missing.
Although it was awesome to see that because they've actually finally got a logo that feels comic booky.
They actually have a movie opener logo. Yeah.
So I'm hoping some of this is Geoff Johns influence on this,
right?
Since he's now co-president of DC Films,
right?
Add to the 17 other hats he's wearing in the company.
Exactly. That's what they all do.
Exactly.
Nobody sleeps.
Nope. Between
they have the serums.
Well, that's like you would. The one thing that I think DC needs that really you can't build it from now. Is I think Geoff Johns is the first one in a long time that could work as a face of the company the way Stan Lee has always been for Marvel. DC has never had that. It has never had one person that was the face of the entire company. Until now they have Geoff Johns, but it's like he's not been at it that long.
No.
So I'm hoping we can move in the right direction with that because they need that. They need someone that people, when they think of Marvel Comics, you think of Stan Lee.
Yeah.
So we need something. When you think of DC, you start thinking of Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, those things. You don't think of an actual person behind the scenes pulling the strings.
True.
So, but anything else before we start getting ready to wrap this up today?
Not me.
Nope.
We are good.
So, Geeksters, that was our take on Pirates and Wonder Woman. Let us know what you thought about these movies. Send us... Miss Dawn wants emails.
I'm still waiting!
Did you like Wonder Woman? Did you like Pirates of the Caribbean? What are you looking forward to coming up this summer? The next couple weeks, there's nothing super huge coming.
No, so. I think the only other movie this month that might have geek appeal is Despicable Me 3.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple other ones in there, but nothing that's going to make huge splashes like this.
Go to your drive-in. Go enjoy. Yeah.
And that's the nice thing. As of right now, with the movies we have come in, some of the drive-ins, you may get a chance to see, like, Pirates or Guardians and Wonder Woman running together.
That's true. And that would be like a good double feature.
The drive-ins like to try to do some of that stuff sometimes. And sometimes it's like, why did they put those movies together? Like, they ran Wonder Woman and then Baywatch following it. Wonder Woman's your family fun movie, and then Baywatch, you don't want the kids watching that
one. Well, and you saw the reasoning.
Why Guardians isn't around yet, so.
Yeah, they won't do it.
I don't know. But Geeksters, send us an email at Gmail, or geekwatch1@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about the movies, what you're looking forward to. Also, you can find us on all social media, anywhere, everywhere, as Geekwatch1. Search Geekwatch1, you'll find us. If you don't, let Miss Dawn know. She'll take care of that problem.
That's right.
You can find us at... and then, other than that, go to geekwatch1.com. You can find all of our blogs, all of our sponsors and affiliates and swag. You want a Geekwatch1 t-shirt? Go to the website. We got them. Other than that, you can find us on the Tangibound and Weeby Geeks networks. And from that, we have an interview next week with an author, guys. Come back and check that out for issue 109 or 108.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're just skipping them all over the place now.
That's right. So for that, for Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember.
And the dead dog in my lap.
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.